You know, Barb, I think sometimes people look at titles, and such as bishop or reverend or pastor, evangelist, teachers, deacons, elders, so on, and they make an assumption that these people are okay. I can plant with them. But I want to tell you, by their fruit you shall know them. If the anointing isn't there, forget the title. I believe, in a sense, we're throwing our money away if we're sowing in a dead deal. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know when the anointing is there. I mean, I want you to stop and think about it, and I'm after people all the time to get out of dead churches and whatever. And if that anointing isn't on that person's life, and they say they represent God, maybe they don't. And I'm putting it to you straight. I would find an anointed ministry with anointed leader, and that's where I'd sow my money. Because your money is hard-earned. I mean, we know that. And it's something that you need to take a real stewardship look at and say, where have I been sowing? And have I been sowing where there's a possibility of a multiplied return? Now, and I'll tell you, the anointing is what removes the burden and destroys the yoke. That's Isaiah 10:27. You need to understand that when you sow, the power needs to be there to bring that seed to a multiplied harvest. If that anointing is not there, your seed is not going to be blessed like it should be blessed. So we look for opportunities to plant where we know that that anointing is there, that it's a tangible anointing, that our seed is going to go into good ground. And you see, good ground really has, and by the way, you need to determine that your heart is good ground for God's word to go in. And you can read the story in Matthew 13. You know, when there's good ground, then there's 30, 60, and 100 fold. When the soil is not prepared, you know, when there's rocky soil, when there's the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, you know, you planted your seed in the wrong place, it doesn't grow. It can't grow. Now, we know that, you know, and I say this all the time, you don't plant your garden in the sidewalk or in the driveway. You put it in soil that's been prepared and fertilized, and it's got the right amount of moisture and the right amount of sun, depending on what you're growing. But you need to be very careful what soil you plant into. And yes. I believe that is extremely important. You've got to have good soil if you're going to have a great harvest.
And in Luke 8, verse 15, Darren, with a seed in good soil are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and a good heart. There's no deception in your heart at all. And there's no deceit. And there's no jealousy. And there's no anger about giving. You have prepared that soil, the heart, your heart, with the word of God. And so you're ready to give. And it says here, Darren, and they hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. I believe this word perseverance. And it's just like Galatians 6:9 also, that when we sow and we don't faint, we will produce a great harvest. Well, what is this? I believe the perseverance is confessing that word until our giving reaps us a harvest. And I believe that it comes in different stages. I really do. I believe we can get it in 30 days, but also I believe we can get it in a year. And I believe it has different growing periods, just like different seeds have different growing periods in which to mature and crack through the soil and grow. And I believe this perseverance is staying in the Word. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Those kind of scriptures, staying in that Word and confessing it on a daily basis, that's the perseverance that's going to see that great harvest.
You know, God says, I watch over my word to perform it. He says that in Jeremiah 1:12. We need to know that scripture. We really need to know that in Isaiah 55:11. No word that goes forth from my mouth shall return void without accomplishing that for which I desire.
And 65:11, the self-fulfilling power of his word is going to go forth. Let's see, what is it? 61:11?
Right.
61:11, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, what does that say in your Bible?
In Isaiah 61:11, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. And in the Amplified, it says, by the self-fulfilling power of his word. And that is so important.
That's the part I wanted you to bring out.
His word is going to bring forth that harvest.
Now, the Lord has given us a covenant. Another word for covenant is contract, through Abraham. He gave Abraham what we call and refer to today as the Abrahamic Covenant. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy 28 in the first 14 verses. The last part of that chapter are the curses. It said, for example, in one verse, if you don't give with joy, you're going to bring a curse on your life. we ought to be joyful because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the head of the family.
Yes.
Our family, the body of Christ. Well, when we give and when we go to work knowing that Deuteronomy 1:8 is true, that he is going to bless the work of our hands and everything we put our hands to, and that we're going to prosper. He's saying, you're going to be above and not underneath. You're going to be ahead and not the tail. Well, who wants to be the tail? I want to be the head. I want to be up there where the decisions are made and where you know, the movers and shakers operate. You ought to want to be there too. But he says, and he gives us a real key there in Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, hot and cold, winter and summer, shall not cease. Okay, then if it's not to cease, where is it? And I'm not trying to start a tangent here against the ministers of the gospel. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm saying, as a minister of the gospel, I am concerned about the return that our people get, in other words, the harvest, on what they plant in this ministry. Well, I'm concerned about that.
I believe their ears and their eyes have been dulled too, when, according to Matthew 13, by the very fact that they think that what they're doing from 8 to 5 is going to make them abundant. And I believe that's an absolute lie from the devil. What most people are doing from 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever they're doing, that's going to pay the bills, basically. That's going to pay maybe their home mortgage off, but it's not going to make them abundant. And the people of God are not going to be prosperous by what they're doing during the day. They're going to become prosperous by what they're sowing into the kingdom of God with their offerings and their tithes and their alms. That's what's going to make them prosperous, Darren.
And I would add a little P.S. to that, if they plant where the anointing is.
True.
Now in 2 Kings 4, we have a story of a widow lady who was in debt. And by the way, her husband had been a man of God. And when he died, he left her in debt, and the creditors were coming to take her two sons away. And she cried out to the prophet. She cried out to the man with the anointing. Mm-hmm. And he stood between God and between the need, and he told her what to do.
Yes.
And here's what he said. Go to the neighborhood and get all the pots and pans and go in, close the door, and start pouring from that little cruse of oil that you have left. And she filled up all the pots and pans. And then let me tell you a real key thing. When they ran out of vessels, the oil stopped. Mm-hmm. There was a vessel of opportunity until there were no more vessels, and then the demand wasn't put on the anointing any longer, and it didn't just keep flowing and run down the street.
Yes, and the natural world, she knew she couldn't make it. She was in the natural world. This widow could not make it at all. She and her son were going to die, and a spiritual transaction needed to take place, Darren, and that spiritual transaction came with that man of God who confronted her and came up to her and gave her the directions that she needed to have a prosperous, abundant spiritual life.
And I guess I'd say that this way. You need a man of God that's responsible to the word between you and your need, between you and your answer. And that man can stand between God himself and deliver the answer to you. You're going to win. But so many times in Scripture, that anointed person had to be there. Same way, and later in that same chapter with the Shunammite woman, you know, the old prophet, Elisha, saw that she had a need. She didn't have a son. Now, folks, in those days, that was their social security. The kids were going to take care of mom and dad. Well, no kids, no retirement. It's just that plain. Well, 2 Kings 4, with the widow lady that only had the cruse of oil, her retirement or her protection in her old age was about to be taken from her by the creditors.
Well, and you know, we were just talking today on the way to the studio that those people, for instance, who had given stock into Enron, whose stock went plummeting, who had their whole future in that stock, they no longer have a future. It's exactly like the widow woman. All what they had planned for their future is gone. So what do they do? Well, if you're in the Lord Jesus, if you're a believer, you can rely on the offerings and the sowing that you have done into the kingdom to bring you that prosperity that you wanted. We can't rely on the world anymore, Darren. We cannot. I mean, I just heard yesterday about a woman who worked 24 hours as a secretary in a school system. She's getting a couple thousand a month. As a retirement, that's not enough to live on anymore in this day and age. It really isn't. So we've got to depend on what we have sown into the kingdom of God to be multiplied for our prosperity in the future.
Well, I tell you, the Lord has been all over my program in the last 24 hours, and he said, Darren, Deuteronomy 8:18 means that I have given you the power to make wealth, to confirm the